So although the respiratory virus, you know, we all, yeah, I got a little flu, I got a little this, but the impact on the economy, United States and the hospital, is tremendous. Being a director of virology, and right before, every year, before, I want to remind you, showing this, you'll remember when you have your flu, you're miserable, you're wiping your nose, you're taking all these drugs, and then it doesn't go away real fast. And then, so it's important to remind you, even though it's September, but the respiratory season is coming, it's on the corner, even though you're in California. We always wonder, where do the virus live in the summer? I always ask my students, they say, oh, I don't know. They're hiding maybe in Shamu, because they study Shamu. They wipe Shamu, they found flu A, but Shamu doesn't, you know, have runny nose, or we don't know. So so apparently in the lot of wild animal, they have this, and in winter time, they don't like cold, or we are all huddling, wintertime, we are huddling in the room, you know, spitting to each other, hugging, and then we transfer. And summertime, like California, you're outside on the sun, you're not touching each other, so somehow it's not there. For whatever the reason, we don't know. And also they told, I was reading a Throwaway magazine, why the virus, where are they in the summer? They just all waiting and start this, you know, December, November, they all just come out, attack us. Well, virus, the membrane, the nuclear protein, the hemagglutinin, they are very sensitive to high heat. So that means Arizona will get less because they're going to destroy the membrane or something. And that's why they become a reduced infectious unit of the viral particle, be neuraminidase, the surface marker, and hemagglutinin. So enough of that. So getting back on the next slide showing the impact, this is just the CDC surveillance. We are one of the 220 lab participate surveillance, and this is just flu, influenza only. And if you look at this, where's the thing, the red one? If you look at, you know, roughly 8,000, you know, flu A and then flu B, if you see the graph of RSV, and every year it's a significant number. So getting on the significant number, so the CDC annually released this very nice graph that we all understand, showing we have 290 million population. If 10% of us, at least 10% of us, catch the respiratory virus once, you know, during the respiratory season, get infected. Let's say even 10% infected, we're talking about 30 million. You know, they estimate 10 to 20, so let's say 60 million. Out of 60 million, 50% the individual will have symptoms, and symptoms, you know, or fever, and some people even have GI problem, and cough, and headache, just tremendous. I think I get once a year, even get a flu shot, but it should be mild. So this individual will seek help when they have symptoms, or they call, they don't show up at work. That's another problem. So the people seek help, and some of the people, like me, say, well, I'm going to go home, drink a lot of water, sleep, drink a lot of fluid, and then get over. Usually, I do. I take Tylenol every 4 or 6 hours, so I never had to go. But when I get older, you become immunocompromised, or you are on some kind of chemo, be it temporarily or periodically, you're a lot more susceptible. You don't have a defense, and you're going to end up in the hospital. So the hospitalization the last 5, 6, or 8 years, it's been greater than, it's about 250,000 in the United States. And that's a lot. And then deaths is around 30,000. The 2008 estimate for 2007 is 36,000. That's much more deaths than the HIV, everybody talk about, all the other real, much horrible, much more worse infections. Yeah. So this is really a big deal if you think about it. And then the cost of people stay home at work is just millions and millions of dollars every year. And therefore, economically, everything is. So I, with all my introduction here is in the clinical lab, you know, the one thing about, because the severity of the disease, and you think a quick and a rapid and sensitive test is crucial. And in this case, so turnaround time for a test, same day result, is very important. And therefore, when you have a quick result, I know you'll reduce the hospital stay because the doctor will know what to do, treat it. And then all the doctors, including community doctors, were not prescribing unnecessary antibiotic. That's the big deal. That's why we now talk about MRSA, Vanke, because there's so much antibiotic usage that the unnecessary usage also, you know, when I take an antibiotic, I get real sick in the stomach, something. So there's not very good for the patient unnecessarily. And our bed utilization, especially pediatric, is very severe. One night is $1,400. And then, so to avoid using antibiotic, and then also, once you know flu A, you give a Tamiflu, a Mantadine, flu B, whatever it is, and the RSV. So you know how to triage a patient. As a result, overall, infection control, unnecessary antibody usage, and the hospital stay, and plus cohort, the bed, and it's $1 million every year for any hospital. So it is very important to do that. Therefore, I just want to give to you what we did at the Cleveland Clinic, and then what lessons we learned from 2005, 2008, because 2005, December, it was the first year we had it. So we just said, we're going to do the molecular. And then I show you why we did that. And then the ProFlu Plus is the test that's FDA clear. Before FDA clear, we were using it. It's called ProFlu 1. And then we like the last one, it's workflow. It's real easy. It's hardly hands-on. We train, actually, the new tech, we train, they all regular bacteriology technician, new and easy. And then, so all in one, for us, it's three in one, three virus in one sample, and one sample for three results. So it's been a success story with us, and I encourage you to go. This is quickly, I know the next two speakers are all gonna show you our hospital, but on the picture, they all look alike, it's really. Just a bunch of buildings, right? I mean, they all, except you don't see ocean, yours may have ocean, but it's, you know, so I figure I want to do that too. So we are in Northeast Ohio, you know, a lot of you don't know, but we're right next to Lake Erie. And the people know Pittsburgh, but then, you know, Cleveland is not a big deal, but that's good. So we have 1,200 beds, and then recently we opened our heart center, so it's 1,300 beds, so more people are going to be sick. It's a large, we say a large reference lab, does not mean Quest or LabCorp. We have around 8 states around us, around the Ohio. So, you know, Michigan, you know, maybe Indiana, and the west of Pittsburgh. And then, so the sample do come in. We have people driving little bus, moving things around, just like every other places. It's about greater than 20,000 respiratory tests every season. But you may not think about it. If someone, our respiratory panel is a gold standard. Before I took the job, 1988, respiratory panel is flu A, flu B, RSV, parainfluenza 1, 2, 3, and annual. That's 7 viruses. So we used to grow them, and when they finish, we put on a little slide with 7 spots. Each one, when you bill your patients, count 1 test. Whether it's positive, negative, you're billing them. So that's we used called IFA or DFA, direct fluorescein, indirect fluorescein. So for years, if you do 3,500 of this during the season, that is greater than 20,000 tests. And we don't realize that, but our, you know, business people say, "Oh, virology, you're good. You're in the black. That's a good." Yeah. So I figure next, please. So, and this is everybody realize, you know, the balancing act is important. Our job is we work with clinician, we work with infection control epidemiology people. In the Cleveland Clinic, all the hospital epidemiology people, they are all infection control nurses. And a couple infectious disease doctor. So we actually talk to them daily. Every Wednesday we have a dirty laundry section. Wednesday 8 to 9 is to figure out what's the issue. On we just pick up one topic, then we understand each other. So we work together. So as a result, the people in microbiology, the 3 staff member, we are joint point the infectious disease, and 2 of their doctor are part also member in microbiology. They also had to take the board. To pass the ball as a micro, so we become quote unquote happy family. They are infectious disease doctor with the infectious disease laboratory. Like I talked to Mike, without us, they're not going to be able to do anything. What I mean, all they do is take the test. They know what to do. Therefore, we become very, very happy, a good group of people. So, next slide, please. So quickly, I don't want to bore you. I think all of you probably know how labor intense to do viral culture. And that's how when I was brought in, you know, specimen come in, you air into shell vial. That's the famous viral culture vial. And the bottom of this is shell vial is people used to collect shell in this vial. But the vial is so small, I just don't know how you people do it. But if you look on the Google, shell vial is used for viral culture and collect shells, small shells. But on the bottom shell vial is a cover slip. On the cover slip, they have the cells the virus love to eat, usually MRC5. In this case, R-mix. R-mix stands for respiratory virus mixture. Diagnostic hybrid was very clever to mix two cells so you get two favorite cells for the virus, for respiratory virus, and the FDA cleared. So in the bottom of this are all the cells. We have shipment every week, and then you decontaminate the nasal swab, throat swab, and you add in here, and you quickly spin. That's the famous shell vial. Spinning does not spin down the virus. When you spin in centrifugation, low speed for 30 minutes, you open the pores of the MRC, the R-mix cells. It's almost like the papine. You open the pores, so if there's a virus, they enter easy. So it was described by Tom Smith by 1986, 87, showing shell vial can speed up the result from, you know, day four to day one and day two. So everybody's using there. So we do a quick span, and you incubate overnight. And then you look this thing every day. You look for what? CPE. But since we've been doing this for over 15 years, so day one we stain. If any of this day one positive result goes out, but it's still next day. So you collect today, you get result next day afternoon because you're in the dark room looking for the headlight. So. And sometimes one day we get over 100 samples, and then they have me, because I keep saying, why are you so slow? They made me sit and read. After 24 slides, I was totally nauseated, actually dizzy, because I'm much older than they are. You really feel at the front end, you feel like, oh, I can't take this anymore. Next slide. So, you know, this is a very pretty flutelay. Next one. Show the, you know, very pretty, you know, it's pretty, but you know, you're in a busy diagnosis, you just say positive, that's it. So after you read 20, 40 slides, and there's 100, so we have three technicians, so we don't, I think for cytology people, they have a limit for our DFA, so we use, okay, you read until 11:30, someone else, if there's leftover, I will try to finish for you, but it's very labor intense. None of the sample came in the same time. It was just nightmare. I remember 2003 winter. So we decided, oh, we're so smart. So 2004, I said, we're going to use Binax. Binax, BD, Quidel, they all have a FDA clear point of care. Point of care means you do it right next to the patient, right? Point of care. But our people, they don't want this. So no, we're going to send to you. You do the point of care. Because they already have too many glucometer, you know, and they don't want to do another POCT test in the hospital. So we said, okay, fine, we'll do it. So but and then we validated, nah, you perform okay. And the result in 15 to 20 minutes, very good. So this is what the scheme we did. And then, you know, the people in the clinicians, they don't understand. You do this. And then you do the flu A, flu B, RSV, and the flu A, flu B, one cartridge. RSV, second cartridge. You do two for each patient. So you do this, and then if the negative RSV, and then you have to do DFA. When it's negative flu A, flu B, you have to do culture because DFA is extremely insensitive to flu A, flu B. So then we're splitting here. Next slide. We were going crazy. And then we showed them the result. And we published this in the Infectious Disease Clinical Practice of February 2007. And a lot of people were very interested. And so we just want to know how we do it. So you sample come in, you do the rapid EIA. We find out of the 32 sample, EIA, that's the rapid test, it's the only positive 9%. And out of the 32 sample, we have 26. There's 32 positive, 26 flu A, 6 flu B, but 309, they're all negative. So that means we have to do culture for flu, and then they find 7 positive EIA, there no culture backup for something. We could, you know, there were no more sample coming next. So when you look this logistic nightmare, I'm thinking, God, we, and also by doing the confirmatory, I feel real stupid after season is, we did two tests, two different sets of tests for patient. You only get one reimbursement. So we work ourselves to death. We feel like a fool. We never got reimbursement. So why are we doing this? And the patient care was not improved. So we decided, okay, we need a test. You know, I have a group of 10 people. I said, oh, well, we want the reliable, inexpensive, quick turn time, less hands-on time is the best. And then no need to confirm. Next, please. So and then our sample coming mostly, you can see if a majority, you know, about 50% are 50 or over, 50% are, you know, 50 younger, but 28% are the pediatric population. Next slide. So I already told you what we did at the 2004. It was horrible. We feel really, really stupid. So 2005, and then the doctors are very smart. When you do a rapid test, the result is negative, need to confirm, and they call this, what do you mean confirm? Negative is not negative? I said, no. You read the product insert. Well, of course they don't read product insert. They get real mad, they slam the phone. And so you have to follow the FDA and sort of guideline. So then they wait 2 days, 3 days. I remember one young pediatrician. She said, well, Dr. Yang, I sent you 7 samples on such day. Yeah. She said, 2 came positive. I was so happy I treated. And then 5 negative. I was so happy. I figured they have something else. And then 2 days later, you said they're positive for 2 days later, the flu A culture result. Then we, in the computer, said, you know, confirmatory. She went crazy. She already gave the antibiotics, okay? So I went, you know. So then I met her, told her that we are really stupid, and then, and so sorry. And then she is, you know, she's the section head for, so she had the little, you know, pediatric rounds. And then, so next thing, no, nobody ordered the rapid test. So we have 8 cases of the rapid test, the little cute blue and green cartridge, and then we were so frustrated. We can't return. We ordered. And then to make things funny in the lab, we made a huge, giant Christmas decoration out of the influenza, the flu A, flu B thing, and we had a picture there. So that's what we call lesson learned. We spend money. We're not getting reimbursed. And then we had very little impact on patient care, because the rapid test sensitivity is around 50 to 60%, because we're the one doing the rapid test. Point of care should be done on bedside, not where we are, but, you know, make long story short. So we all face the same problem. So from, you know, real-time PCR implemented, then we decided to bite the bullets, we'll do it. And then from 2005 to 6, 6, 7, 7, 8 is fantastic, and it's so easy. It's so easy, and let me tell you why. Next one. I want to quickly show you next slide. Everyone knows this. And this is, we took a 57 pediatric sample. Out of 57, and only 17 positive for one of the 3 virus. And when you do the real-time PCR, which takes much less time and does need to confirm, it pick up 29 out of 57. The rapid test in the lab, and this is not the best side, in the lab, they miss. You can see clearly a 12 out of 60 sample, which is not acceptable. And then so next slide, same thing. It showed the rapid test on the left side, the RT-PCR on the right side. Next slide. And so sensitivity, almost 60%. Of course, when the rapid test positive, it's every rapid test positive, they were all confirmed by culture and RT-PCR. So for us, you know, the culture is really, for this case, culture is really the rusty standard. And the RT-PCR in our lab is the gold standard, because we did the side-by-side culture comparison for over 100 cultures to show. So we are convinced. So again, quickly, 1 sample, 3 result. Respiratory season, everyone in Cleveland Clinic, the molecular test starts November 1, finish April 30. And last year, October, we did have something, and we did a few. Just to is someone in the transplant service. So I already mentioned the 7 viruses and the very quick turn times, about 10 in the morning. 10. The reason we don't start 8, because a lot of sample, we have a pneumatic tube system, we're a courier. They all always arrive at 8 something, 8:30. So by 10, I should have everything in on my floor. Then we can start. So at 10 o'clock, going to the extractor, and then result goes out four o'clock every day. And then we capture majority of them. And then, so it's sensitive, specific, and less handle. And what really makes this easy, and I'm sure, you know, why I'm here is for us, made our life easy, was the Easy Mag extractor. Without that, we will be nowhere. In microbiology, I think everyone in this room know, we always hear junk in, junk out. You can give me the best sample, and I'm taking it all day to extract, and then the result is totally variable and manual. And so we forget about the manual extract. So everyone went to Easy Mag. And so quickly, what tests are we using it? And then we use a Techman probe. Don't let that overwhelm you. I'll show you what that is. It's just a little section of nucleic acid with two labels. And we use real-time PCR and the four probes in the one sample and Flu-BRCV in internal control. And then the test names per Flu Plus is FDA clear. Next slide. Quickly, so people tell you what's Techman, you can tell them. It's nothing but the commercial people sell you a probe. Probe is a sequence of a nucleic acid. In this case, it's almost identical as Flu A, so you will hybridize with Flu A. So this probe, each probe is labeled with two dyes, and the dye will shine the fluoresce in the different wavelengths. All of us did EIA know different wavelengths to read your sample. So you notice all the wavelengths, the fan, the Cal Red, Cal Orange, and the Quasar, they're all different wavelengths. As a result, in the Techman machine that we use Rhodogene, it's smaller, easy to use. When they come out, they come out on their special channel, so there's no cross-reactivity. And so that's why you use, okay, now, when you do a PCR reaction, and you know, Kim is our youngest bacteriology tech, as Kim, don't have to worry about this. Here's a tube inside your patient sample. We want to know your patient has Flu-BRSV. And the probe we add in consists of the probe is just 20 microliter mixture, we call it. It has the four things. When you add this in, and when you put in the thermocycle, it's going to go up and down. It's a heating cooling machine. Every time it goes up and come down, your two copy become four copy. We know the principle of polymerase chain reaction. So this is the same thing, except this is in a real-time PCR machine. Once you put your sample in, you never open again. So don't anyone tell you cross-contamination, but there isn't. You never add any. You add a sample in, you sealed, you're done. So we favor real-time PCR because we think with EasyMag, real-time PCR, any lab, because our bacteriology tech and doing this every day, it's really easy. And I was totally convinced, and in other words, you should not be intimidated by any kind of molecular jargon. So when the PCR, when the machine heats up, and then the polymerase is tech polymerase is from a bacteria, you know, and the Thermophilus aquaticus, the enzyme withstand heat and cooling. When the polymerase is going to help to polymerase in the presence of nucleotide, it's going to start they call DNA walk to start synthesize DNA using the same sequence on the probe. Because your question is want to know is, does your patient, this is your patient, and then does they have the presence of the special sequence? If it does, it's going to bind, and then the light will come out. You know, the fluorescent light will be released. So tech polymerase merely make it possible to do four targets in one tube. So when this happens, the DNA starts synthesized right here. The polymerase has a dual function. The second function is called 5' nucleus. I forgot to tell you, when the probe comes, this is the 5', you know, the ribose, 5' ribose. 5', this is 3'. So the 5' is the reporter gene, reporter dye, and that's the fan. Quencher, what's the quencher? Quencher is the one, when everything's labeled, quencher is to make sure the dye doesn't release any color. The only time your reporter is going to report is you get rid of the quencher. Well, that's what the endonucleus, the polymerase does. Polymerase is in the tube. Once it starts synthesizing the new piece of DNA, it will start chopping the probe. it's this activity, exonucleus. Many child plot, you can see clearly the reported gene got released. Many reported gene release tells me what? That your patient sample is flu A positive, it start coming out, next slide, and quencher's gone. And then, so when you turn on the machine, you're gonna see chugging along, there's nothing happening. You say, oh God, it's gonna turn positive. Usually in our samples, 20 cycle, it start turning positive. So suddenly they chug along. Once they have enough fluorescent released by the fluorometer, the light's gonna come out above the threshold. So we, and the, when you do this, always threshold, that's background noise. And once you come up, and actually the sample turn positive right in front of your eye, if you're curious when you start using it. It's really exciting in the ways with the traditional PCR, you don't see anything. You have to take the amplicon, go to you know, microwell, it's real painful, and you worry about contamination. So this one just come out, and then you know, you're so many times I can, for a, I remember an emergency pediatric newborn with RSV, and when this come out, I said, it's happening. I told her, you're right. I said, Dr. Gopher, it's right, it's positive. She said, oh, great, and blah, 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 you know, because they had to make sure this kid is in a private bed, you know, type of thing. But we don't do that too often. You know, I don't know if it's legal or not, but I didn't write down. I just call her. It's no documentation. So when you look the tag man, you also people say, oh, what's the CT number? Don't let them fool you. CT number means threshold cycle. It's at that point your sample become positive. So your sample is CT 20. Usually it's about 10 to the 6 copy. Sometimes if you go CT 24, 25, maybe 10 to the 5 copy, because we did a little titration just for fun. We ordered calibrated flu isolate, did that. So this test not only is positive, you actually can tell how strongly the patient is infected. That's why we're doing a study in the pediatric. They want to know the viral low concentration of the RSV in the PICU and NICU, and then see if that changed their patient management. If you have the cycle 30, you say, well, you know, 30 was me, they don't even do anything. For pediatric, you know, they do something. So the remember threshold cycle, the cycle where the sample become positive, release the fluorescent, it's an important you know marker for the molecular world. Next one, please. So this is what I just finished saying. You take the virus, the you make a dilution, 10 to the 1, you know, 10 to the 4, all the way to 10 to the 1. You do the same test I just described. You notice the concentration. You know that this one's 25, and it's you know it's not 10 to the 6 copy. You notice the CT number is very different. So this test not only is good, but it's also quantitative. Next slide, yeah. So very quick, at the, where I work, our hospital is linked with 15 smaller family center and smaller, maybe 200-bed hospital or some private pediatric practice. So we actually form, well, not me, the manager, Cleveland Clinic Health Network. We don't call ourselves Cleveland Clinic Foundation any longer, I was told. You just call them Cleveland Clinic. And it has 15 small hospitals throughout the Cleveland, greater Cleveland area. We are all linked by the computer system we use, the Sunquest Mises. And then the doctor over there all have Epicare. It's their electronic order. When they order, I see, they told me a matter of 30 seconds, and I take their word for it, but I never check. So whatever they order, so they can order influenza, on the Epicare will show flu, RSV. You know, pediatrician only order this one. You and I all know that. But I'm trying to convince some of the my pediatrician friend. And then some people are used to the old culture panel. They will order flu RSV. Our computer only allows you 6 letters, no matter how you do it. So you have to be very careful. Make sure you the FLU is not used by you know 2,000 other tests. So we also the ORV pen is a respiratory panel. No matter what they